If you have your Bible, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. There is feel free, as always, as the day goes on, it gets a little bit warmer. Feel free to open up the windows more. You have air conditioning units in now, so you can kick those on if you need to. But feel free, as it gets warmer, to do what you need to do to keep cooler. Just don't leave. Just don't leave, yeah. Ephesians 5, there is I'll probably post this in case you're unfamiliar with it, but there is a scene in West Wing that I saw. It was a movie, and it's a movie about the guy who portrays, he's being the president of the United States, and him and his wife are walking into, it shows them entering the scene, and they are talking about their experience at church. And so the wife goes on and she says, "Did you hear that? Your husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And he goes, "And wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." And they just have this back and forth between the two of them, this argument about who was supposed to do what within the marriage. And so it kind of goes on and eventually gets disrupted. But the point is I imagine that could be the case when you leave here from church today. Wives are going to be looking at their husbands saying, "Did you hear what you're supposed to do?" And husbands are going to be looking at their wives and saying, "Did you hear what you're supposed to do?" And so as we look at this, as we look at marriage, again, we kind of talked about God last week. The Bible shows us that God created marriage. He designed marriage. And God knows how marriage works best. And so, if we want to have healthy marriages, if we want to have marriages that are enjoyable and joy-filled, then I believe, based off of convictions from Scripture, that what we should do is follow God's example, follow His design. At the end of last week, we said, you know, what's the greatest problem in marriage? The greatest problem in marriage is sin. And the good news about that is that Jesus came to deliver us from sin, to save us from our sins. And so that part is good news. But we also looked at after the fall, soon after the fall, as God gives some new directions based off of living in a fallen world, one of the things that He said was, "And husbands, you will rule over your wives." And so, well, what does that mean? And I think Ephesians 5 maybe gives us the best insight as to what He's talking about. And so we're going to look at this passage and understand, as we've talked about, when Paul writes this in a first century setting, Paul is writing to a group of people, and the instructions that he's going to give them is counter to culture. And in that time, wives were basically property of their husbands. And so, as we look at the passage, it starts off and it says, "Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ." And that right out there just was completely counter to what they were accustomed to. That's not how their culture worked. And then when it goes on and it starts speaking, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." What he's speaking to is them loving in a way that they were not accustomed to. Loving, putting their wives' needs above their own, putting them on the same level. When you do this, it's like loving yourself. Understand that what he's doing is he's speaking something that at that day and time, when the message was received by the people, the women would have said, "Oh man, this is good news. This is really good news." And the men would have said, "Paul, what are you doing, man? Why are you saying this? We had it really good, and you're trying to mess it up for us." And nowadays, when we read Ephesians 5, this passage on marriage, I believe it is also counter to our culture. Most marriages are not designed the way that Ephesians 5 is set up. And you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, I believe people can go through life married, living apart from God, and figure out a way to make it work. But that doesn't mean that that's their best marriage. That just means they're making it work. I believe the best marriages are the marriages that are designed and conform to God's standard. And so you can say, "Well, I'm happily married. Why do I need to change anything?" Well, what if there's a happier marriage? What if it can be better? What if it can be best? Wouldn't you want that? And I believe that's what God speaks to. He shows us a way that is best. And understand that as we read it, you're going to say, your first inclination may be to say, nope, can't do it. Ours is good the way it is. And that may be the case. Have you ever been invited over to someone's house for dinner? And at the end of the night, they may say, well, I really hope you enjoyed the food tonight. What would happen if you said, well, it was good enough? What would the person who cooked the meal think? You didn't like it, right? That's an insult to their cooking if you think it's good enough. And if you say, well, my marriage is good enough, I just want you to know that it can be better. Good enough is typically an insult to someone. How did you do today? Huh? You did good enough. Well, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear that I did exceptional. I want to hear that I did excellent. I want to hear that I did my best. And I think God doesn't want us to settle for good enough. God wants the best for us, including the best marriage for us. And so we're going to look at this passage. And again, there's so much in God's Word. But when you start looking at specifically to husbands and wives, there's for all of God's Word, there's very little dedicated right to that subject. Again, there are so many things that if we just applied Christian principles for how all those times in the New Testament where it says treat one another like this, if we were just to do that within our marriage, it would make things so much better. But when you get specific to husbands and wives and the marriage, there's not a lot there. So I always encourage couples when I'm doing premarital counseling, since there's not a lot there, whenever God speaks to the subject, we need to pay careful attention and heed its wisdom. And so I pray that's what we do today, that we come to this humbly and we say, God, teach us how to do marriage. And so I invite you to stand out of reverence for God's Word as we read this passage from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21 and reading down through the end of the chapter. And Paul writes to the Ephesian church, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever has hated his own body, but he feeds it and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Let's pray. Father, we come to you humbly today asking you to teach us, Lord, through your infinite wisdom. God, I express on my own behalf, God, that, Lord, on my own and speaking from my own insight and wisdom and knowledge, God, I would lead people astray. But God, we come today to look at your wisdom and to see what you say. And so God, speak through me as your messenger this morning, not to proclaim my set of beliefs or anything else, but to proclaim your truth as it's laid out in Scripture to your people, Lord, for our good and ultimately for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. And so I want to start, the title of the sermon today is Marriage's Greatest Good and Highest Goal, and that's where we're going to end up. Sometimes we think that marriage is the end, that that's all that there is, but God shows us in His Word that marriage has a greater good, a higher goal, than just two people coming together and living happily. It has a greater good and a higher goal than just two people coming together, having children, and making a family. It has a greater goal than just two people fulfilling their vows to one another, to love each other till death do them part. It has a greater good, and it has a higher goal, and that's where we're going to end up. But first, before we get there, I want to speak to and talk about what God says specifically first to the wives and to the husbands. And so God's desire for husbands and wives, and this is how he starts. He says in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." My favorite part of doing premarital counseling is walking through this passage with people and saying, "Well, what do you think? Tell me what you don't like about it." And you know what the first thing that happens is? Typically, what will happen is the woman will say, "I don't like this part. I don't like this verse." And oftentimes, you know what the guy will say? "That verse makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know that I really like how that's worded. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I don't see how this will work." Understand, what we do is we bring our views into this, and then we try to say, and again, sometimes what happens is we have a tendency to say, "God, you don't know my husband. You don't know how he treats me. You don't know the situation that I'm in. You don't know." The Bible doesn't say, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord," if he meets these criteria. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." And so, the thing that and I believe it's the word submit is probably, it just has taken on a negative connotation, right? You know, if you watch, I don't watch any, but if you watch UFC fighting or anything like that, what do they call the hold when the person taps out? It's a submission hold, right? You're going to work them into submission and make them tap out and give up and give in to your control. And that is not the submission that's talked about in the Bible. It's not a domineering thing from the husband's point of view. And we also think about it in terms of other things. And it's often seen as a sign of weakness, but I don't think that's God's design for the word submission as it's translated to us. I think the underlying theme of it is, and this is how I always give counseling to husbands and wives who are preparing to get married, is the at the root of this word is trust. Trust your husbands. It was a term that was a military term, and so when you saw that your country was going into battle, you voluntarily signed up to go and fight for your country, to go and fight in the army, to enlist yourself. It wasn't a draft like you have to do this. It was, I see what's going on here, and I'm going to voluntarily sign up for this. And so that's at the heart of this word is a trust thing that, and understand it is, if a husband is treating this verse in such a way that he says, "You must submit to me," he's lost sight of the passage.
That's right.
But what is seen here, submission is done voluntarily, not forcefully. The wife yields to the leadership of the husband. She says, "I'm going to submit myself to him." Again, not forcefully. It's not a forceful submission. It's not to husbands that you have a control of your wife until they just say, I just give up. That's not the intent of the passage. The intent is that it's done voluntarily. The intent is that submission is done gladly, not out of resentment. So wives, submit gladly to your husbands. Yield to them gladly. Trust them gladly. Don't resent them for their leadership, but trust them. Again, God takes a fallen world in Genesis 3, and I think he sees the chaos that can come about. And he sees that what's going to happen in marriages is that there's going to be a power struggle. One person is going to selfishly fight for their own interest, and the other person is going to do the same thing, and there's going to be this power struggle that's going to take place in marriage. And he says, "I just want to put some order in the midst of this chaos." I think that's what he does, and that's how the passage is lined out. I just want to talk about some things that submission does not mean. One of the books on the table in the back is a book by John Piper called This Momentary Marriage, A Parable in Permanence. And in here, these are some things that he said. Submission does not mean agreeing with your husband in everything. Submission does not mean that. It does not mean agreeing with your husband in everything. Submission does not mean leaving your brain or your will at the wedding altar. It doesn't mean that you lay that down. Any husband would be wise when making decisions to say, "Honey, what do you think about this?"
Amen.
And he may say, "I appreciate that, but I still want to go in this direction." And you may disagree with it, but the Bible says yield to his leadership. And if he was wrong, the Bible does not say, "Go and tell him, I told you so." Later on, it talks about wives respecting your husbands. I promise you, as a husband, that your wives would take that, your husbands would take that disrespectfully. Submission does not mean avoiding every effort to change a husband. There are sins in your husband, sins that sometimes need to be handled gently. But it's not to say this is who he is and there's no changing him. Now I understand also that many times, I'm not going to say many times, I don't want to get myself in too much trouble, but oftentimes people will come to get married and they know that their future spouse has many flaws, but women are convinced that given enough time that they will change him into the man that God wants them to be, aka that they want them to be. And so it does not mean that you don't make any effort to change your husband. My wife is very gracious. My wife will help me. She gives me help. She's downstairs right now. And so I told her I would not embarrass her at all. But I don't think this is embarrassing towards her. It's just a story. One of the ways that I've changed, just minor. And so I used to, whenever we'd have tacos and the salsa was out, like I don't want to lose the spoon somewhere. So you know what I did with the spoon? I put it back into the salsa, the jar. And you know what my wife did? She hated it. Every time, she wouldn't tell me for the longest time, but she hated it. Because then there would get salsa all over the rest of the spoon, and she would get it on her fingers when she picked up the spoon, and she hated it. And eventually, she told me about it. She said, "John, why do you do this? Every time I pick up the spoon, I get salsa on my hands." I'm like, "I don't know, that's just the way I've always done it." And so over time, I would catch myself putting the spoon back in, and then I'd be like, "Ooh," and I'd set it down on the lid, and that's the proper way to do it. And so I've become domesticated in that sense, that I now know the proper way to handle a spoon and salsa. Now that's just a minor silly detail, but my wife has a sanctifying work in my life. She helps me to see sin and helps me to correct it. And so, yeah, that can be a good thing. Yeah. Submission does not mean putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. If your husband is leading you into sin, the Bible would say, do not follow him. Your first allegiance is to your Savior, King Jesus. And so it does not mean following your husband into sin. Submission does not mean that a wife gets her personal spiritual strength primarily through her husband. That still comes through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The husband plays a role in your sanctification, but he is not the source of your sanctification. That will always be King Jesus. And submission does not mean that a wife is to act out of fear. That is not a loving household if that's what submission looks like. That's not the intent. It's to be done voluntarily and gladly. So this is what John Piper, he goes on and he says, this is what I believe submission is. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. He says it's an attitude that says, I delight for you, the wife to the husband, to take initiative of our family. I am glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. And I don't flourish in the relationship when you are passive and I have to make sure the family works. It's a yielding to him. It is, and any wise husband would, again, go back to Ephesians 5:21, which is the foundation for this passage, which is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Trust each other in this relationship. We said it a couple weeks ago when we talked about moms. Any smart husband and father is going to give a lot of that leadership responsibility for raising the children to the mom, to the wife. Why? Because she knows the children better than anyone else other than God. And so it doesn't mean that the husband has no responsibility there. But as they come together and as they discuss, well, how are we going to raise these children, the wife is going to primarily carry that out because typically, not always, but typically, she's the one who's with them most of the time. And the husbands, we give that response. We gladly give that to them. Sometimes really gladly, depending on how the child's acting on a certain day. But it's not a forceful submission. And so the question may come up is, well, Pastor John, my husband's not a Christian. Do I still need to submit to him? 1 Peter gives us answer to this question. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." What does it say? Does it say that you are free from submitting to your husbands if your husband is not a Christian? No. It says that that submission, that yielding, that trusting to his in his leadership can be a witness to him that may win him to Christ. And so this command, it's a universal command to all wives to yield and to trust in your husband's leadership. And so now we get to the, I believe, the greater responsibility in the marriage and the more difficult command in the marriage, which is the command to the husbands, which is, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Think about this. Think about, husbands, I want you to think about your responsibility here. You are to love in a way that Jesus loved, and you say, "I can't do that. I'm not Jesus." And I would say, that's the point. The point is, you can't do this apart from Christ. Hey. Galatians 2:20 gets to the heart that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The only way that I can do this and love as Christ loved is if Christ is living through me. And so, husbands, this requires a constant submission to God, a constant yielding to the work of the Spirit in your life, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did He love her? It goes on and He says, by laying down His life for her. He goes on, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." He sacrificed for the church. Sacrificed everything of his body and of his rights, of his will. He sacrificed it all for the church, for the sake of the church, for the church's holiness, that the church would be presented blameless one day before God. Husbands, this is the call on you to love your wives sacrificially, to give of yourselves for the benefit of your wife, for the sake of your wife. It goes on and it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, see that when you step into your role as a leader in the household, that this means that you have a responsibility, you play a role in her sanctification. Ultimately, Jesus died for the church to present the church to Himself as a holy, blameless, radiant church, something that is beautiful to God, something that is pure, fully sanctified. And so you play a role in your wife's sanctification. The way that you treat her, the way that you spiritually feed her, these things matter in your family. Do not neglect your responsibility as a husband to feed your family spiritually. And he goes on, the headship of the husband is a responsibility. It's a responsibility to die for their wives. Basically, the command that comes through is, give up yourself for your wife. And most of us, most husbands, any husband that I know that loves their wife, and even many who maybe would say, "I don't love my wife," would say, if a train or a car was heading towards your wife, would you lay down your life for your spouse, for your wife? And they would say, absolutely, with no reservations. I would take a bullet, I would take a train, I would take anything for the sake of my wife. I would die for her. Husbands, are you willing to give up golfing outings for your wife? Husbands, I'm not a video game guy, but are you willing to give up video game time for the sake of your wife? Husbands, are you willing to give up a night of watching sports for your wife? Husbands, are you willing to give up playing softball for a summer for your wife? Which, my wife hasn't asked me to do that, so I'm good. I'm signed up. Husbands, see, we're willing to lay down our life and die. But I believe the call is more than that. It's to put your wife's needs above your own, just as Christ did for the church. And so are you willing to lay down your life, lay down your desires for the sake of her and for the sake of your family? Our desire to do this, our ability to do this, the fact that we should want to do this is not determined by our wives being lovable in a certain situation. It's not based off what she deserves or the fact that she is more lovable today than she was yesterday. It's based on the fact that she's your wife, and this is the command of the church, to the church, to Christians, to Christian husbands, is to do this. Because think about it, if what Christ did was based off the loveliness of the church or what the church deserved, would he have given up anything? No. It wasn't based off of the worthiness of the church, of that the church deserved this, that the church was so lovely, of course he would lay down his life for her. No. The church was sinful and stained and dirty and unlovely and unworthy. But he still did it. Husbands, that's the call. You lay down your life for the sake of your wife, not because she deserves it, but because you love God and this is what He's called you to do.
There it is.
It goes on and it says, here's the thing that I know about myself, and I think it's I've found it to be true of most men. And I believe God knows people because God designed people, states it in His Word. God designed people. He knows people. He knows how He has wired men and women. Men are pretty selfish. Men look out for themselves. Men are really good at taking care of themselves. If my wife were to leave me at home by myself for a few days, for a week, or even a month, I would survive. If she added children to that equation, I would survive. My children would be lacking. Because I'm really good at taking care of myself, but when you start putting me in charge of other people, I'm still pretty selfish. My wife, she is unselfish. Extremely unselfish. This is a silly example, but it just points to her character. If we are driving down the road and my wife has to slam on the brakes for something, she does immediately. Her instinct is, whoever's in the passenger seat, she is doing soccer mom save, right? She is like, she's worried about them. She's not even bracing herself. If I have to slam on my brakes, do you know what I do? I just brace myself. Like, it's not instinctual to me to worry about anybody else. It's instinctual to me to take care of myself first, and that's it. And he goes on and he says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. What is he saying? Husbands, you're selfish. You're good at taking care of yourself. Now remember what God has said. When man and woman and husband and wife come together, they are now one flesh. Treat her as you would yourself. You're really good at being selfish and taking care of yourself. Know that she is now a part of yourself. And so what you would do for yourself, do for her. Feed her, care for her, take care of her. Provide for her needs just as you would yourself. Husbands, this is it's a big call. So, what is the greatest good and the highest goal in marriage? What is the greatest good and the highest goal? Is it just enough that we are married, that we fulfill our vows till death do us part? Is it just enough that we are good husbands, good wives, raise good children? Is that the end all be all of marriage? And I would say, and Paul would say, and the Bible says, no. That's not the end goal. That's not the ultimate goal. That's not the greatest good in marriage. He goes on and he says, quoting from Genesis, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery. Again, when you go back and you read Genesis, and you read that verse at the end of this marriage ceremony between Adam and Eve, and it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and be united to his wife," Paul quotes that. And he says, this is a profound mystery. And you would think that he's going to get ready to share some big insight into this relationship between husbands and wives. But what he goes on to say, he says, "But I am talking about Christ and the church." Man, this opens up marriage to a whole new thing. What he's saying is, I believe when you follow the storyline of the Bible and when you get to this verse, it goes back and it says, God designed marriage so that you would know what a relationship with Christ looked like. You would know how Christ relates to the church and how the church is supposed to relate to Christ. The greatest good, the highest goal in marriage is that we proclaim the gospel through the ways that we love each other. And so, marriage is a picture of the gospel to the world. Marriage portrays and proclaims the gospel to the world. And so here's the roles as they play out. Wives portray the relationship of the church to Jesus and the way that they relate to their husbands. So it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. As the church submits to God, so wives submit to your husbands." So what does the church do? How does the church respond to Jesus? We see His lovingness towards us. We see His love. We see His grace. We see His mercy. And then He calls us to Himself. And so what do? We trust in Him, right? Did anyone make you trust in Jesus? Did anyone force you to be saved? No. You did it voluntarily, right? Did you do it under compulsion or did you do it gladly? You did it gladly because you see how much this Savior loves you, how much Jesus loves you, how much the Son of God has done for you. And so you do what? You say, "I'll trust Him with every part of my being. I'll trust Him with my whole life. Not only that, but I'm going to trust Him for my eternity." Now, you don't trust in your husbands for your salvation. But when you look at how a Christian is supposed to trust in Christ, it gives you an idea of how wives should put trust in their husbands. Understand also that the way that we treat our husband is a testimony to the world of what the church thinks of Christ. So wives, if you disrespect your husband, you know what that shows the world? It's okay to disrespect Christ. Wives, if you don't remain faithful to your husband, you show the world that Christ, that Jesus is not enough, and that it's okay to be faithless to Jesus. Wives, if you hold things back from your husband, you show the world that Christ is not worthy of giving up everything to follow Him. If you don't trust your husband, you show the world that Christ is not trustworthy and that He can't be trusted with our lives. Marriage has a greater good and a higher goal than just two people coming together. It points people to the gospel. Wives, you show the world what trusting in Jesus looks like when you biblically submit to your husbands, when you yield to His leadership and trust in Him. You paint a picture of the church responding to Christ in faith. The church, it comes along and it becomes Jesus' helper, right? We help Jesus to fulfill the mission that He assigned to us. Not because He needs us to, but because He entrusted that to Him. In the same way, the wife is the helpmate. She's the helper to the husband. And understand that the way Christ builds this up, the way that God builds this up in His Word, it does not mean that the woman, that the wife, is inferior to the husband. The Bible paints a different picture. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." The head of Christ is God. Is Jesus God? Yes. So why is God the head of Jesus? Because Jesus has chosen, and again, you have the Trinity, three in one. They're all God, equally God. But you have Jesus, fully God, submitting, yielding to God, trusting God. All through Jesus' life, that's what He shows. Trusting in God's plan, yielding to God's will. And so just as Christ and God are equal, yet one submits or yields to the other, it's the same thing. Husband and wives are equal in God's sight, but he brings order to chaos of the world, and he says, do it this way. It's what's best. Yield trust in your husband's leadership. And in doing so, you show the world what the church looks like, but how the church is supposed to act. Finally, we look at the husband's role. What's the husband's role in this picture of Christ in the church? It's the role of Christ. We portray Christ to the world by our relationship to our wives. And so, think about this. Is this a heavy responsibility? Can you do this in your own power, in your own might, in your own wisdom? No, because you're not Christ. And so you need Christ to fulfill this. And so we portray Christ to the world through our relationship to our wife. Husbands, if you desert your wife, you show the world that Christ deserts or forsakes His people. What has Jesus said? I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? If you forsake your wife, if you desert your wife, you're showing the world that that's how Christ will treat His church. Husbands, if you ignore your wife, you show the world that Christ is not concerned for His people. Husbands, if you are faithless to your wife, you show the world that we are not good enough for Christ and that He is looking for someone better or more lovely than us. Is that truth? No. He loved us in spite of our unloveliness. Husbands, if you don't show love to your wife, you show the world that Christ does not love the church. This is a great responsibility. If you want to know how to treat your wife, I promise you there is a good example in Scripture. His name is Jesus. Look at how Jesus loved the church, how He laid down His life for the church. Look at His words. Look at how He showed forgiveness. Look how in His relationship with His disciples that he showed forbearance towards their weaknesses. He didn't immediately just, any sign of weakness, just cast them off. He dealt with it. He lived with it. And over time, they changed and became like Him. Husbands, look at His teachings. Apply them to your relationship with your wife and watch how your relationship blooms. Husbands, if you want your wives to trust you, this is how I talk to when I speak with couples who are getting married. We talk about this submission thing. I said, I'll look at the woman and I'll say, listen, if Tom loved you in this way, where you saw that he always put your needs first, where you saw that every decision that he made was unselfish because he was considering you along with him, if you see that he lays down his desires for the sake of you and your marriage, and you see that he shows forgiveness to you, and He shows kindness to you, and He shows grace to you, and He shows mercy to you, and He does all these things that Jesus does for the church, if that's how He loved you, and you saw that, would you trust Him in everything? Do you know what the wife says? Absolutely. Husbands, you want your wives to trust your leadership? Love her as Jesus loved the church. Wives, do you want your husbands to love you in that way? When he shows leadership, yield to it. You may say, Pastor John, my husband doesn't lead in anything. How am I supposed to encourage him to be this leader that God has called him to be? Well, anytime he takes the initiative to lead, as long as he's not leading you into sin, yield to it. Encourage him. Say, man, I love that you took responsibility for this. I'm just so excited for what's going to take place. You may think it's the most terrible idea in the world, but if he sees that you love when he leads, what is he going to do more of? He's going to lead more, right? And you pray that you guide that in a way that he's leading you biblically as Jesus and as God has commanded in his word. And so all of this points us. I believe that the highest goal and the greatest good of marriage is that it is a witness to the world. I meet people, how do I witness? I don't know how to witness. I'm not sure how to communicate. Well, here's a good starting point, husbands and wives. You want to communicate to the world how much Christ loved the church? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
And it will demonstrate God's love to the church through that relationship. Wives, you want to show the world, you want to be a witness to the world that Jesus is trustworthy, that he is worthy of putting my full faith in Him, of my full trust in Him. You want me to show them that He is fully satisfying to me? Then show the world that by how you relate to your husbands, by submitting and yielding to His leadership. Trust in Him. And it's a witness to the world. Husbands, of Christ and His love for the church. Wives, of the church's trust in Christ. And when those two come together and when we do what God has commanded us to do, your marriage will be transformed. It will be healthier. It will be happier than you've ever experienced. And people will notice a difference. Before I close, I would encourage you to take advantage of any of the resources that we have. And there's many other wonderful biblical books on marriage and parenting and stuff. But this is how I look at it is, if you are concerned with your personal financial health, what do you do to fix it? Typically, you go out and you read books, right? You're like, well, I'm going to read and study after people who know how to deal with personal finance, and I'm going to learn the best methods for what to do. If I wanted to work on getting out of debt, I go buy a Dave Ramsey book and shows me these principles, biblical principles to live by to get my financial health in order. You want to know what it looks like to be a good husband, to have a good marriage, to be a good parent? Find good biblical resources, including the Bible. The Bible's full of wisdom. And read about it. At the end of the day, I don't want God to say, wow, you were really successful with your personal finance. But I would like it if He said, man, I'm glad that you invested so much time and energy and effort into your marriage, into your family, into parenting your children. That was time well spent. And ultimately, I have to put it into practice. If you're here today, husbands and wives, if this is not how your marriage works, maybe you just spend time talking about it and saying, how are we going to make our marriage more honoring to God, more pleasing to God? And maybe nothing else. You may say, well, we don't really need to change anything. Everything's good. Maybe you say, let's give it a try and see if it improves things, see if things get better. And I believe if you do that, if you have a marriage that is more biblical and honoring to God, you're going to find that it's better for you. And here's the good thing is, if you find, oh, that just didn't work, you can go back to living the way that you were. I don't know if that you want to, though. If you truly give in to God and His will and His plan for your marriage, I don't think you'll want to go back. If you're here today as a husband or a wife and God is speaking to you about some act of obedience, something you need to repent of, then spend time, deal with God about it. If you're here today and you say, you mean that Jesus loved people so much that He gave up Himself for her to make her beautiful, to make her lovely, to make her presentable to God, I'd say, yes, that's the truth. That's what the Bible tells us. That He did this for you. He laid down His life on a cross for you so that you could have a relationship with God the Father, that one day, by you trusting in Him, by you putting your faith in Him, that He cleanses you of all of your sin and He presents you as a beautiful, radiant bride to God, to Christ. This is good news. If you've never received it, today is the day of salvation for you. Let's pray. And I have a hymn of invitation. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know that much of what we talk about, Lord, it goes in the face of what the world thinks, how a marriage should be. God, help us to trust in Your wisdom more than the wisdom of this world, which ultimately is foolishness. Father, teach us how to be better husbands and better wives. Lord, may we follow the example of Christ in how we treat our spouse. And Father, may you use our marriages designed by you as we live according to your commands, that you would draw people to yourself because they see through our marriages a relationship between Christ and the church and how beautiful and glorious that can be. Father, work during this time for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.